All of the game ones in the NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs went to the home team, as we have plenty to uncover in both sports. Plus, the final set of first round series in the NHL out west will drop the puck tonight as the road to the finals on the hardwood and ice are underway. Baseball is just about 1 month into the season, and the separation of the good teams versus the bad teams are stark. Don't look now, but the NFL will be back in our consciousness as the draft is on Thursday. I'll sprinkle in a little bit as to what's going on there. If sports talk is what you're looking for, you've come to the right place. It's all coming up, but first, these messages. I'm elated and honored to welcome in a new partnership here on the podcast. Are you familiar with Olipop Soda? If you're not, well, listen up. I haven't been a soda drinker for quite some time, but when I discovered Olipop and what they're all about, I was all in. Not only is it a prebiotic soda that's good for your gut, it's non-GMO, organic, with ingredients that you can actually read. That's right, no 12 or 14 letter words that you can't pronounce. And are you worried about the dreaded high fructose corn syrup? Not here, as there's very little sugar, 4 grams per serving. And then the flavors? You have vintage cola, orange squeeze, my favorite, tropical punch, banana cream, what? Plus the classics such as root beer, lemon lime, and ginger ale, which has a better taste. How could I forget the taste? Crisp, refreshing, without feeling bloated afterward, than the usual brands that you're familiar with. Right now, you can get 15% off at checkout when you use the code SODALOVE, and I'll get a percentage of that based on your purchase. It's a win-win for both of us. Please go to drinkolipop.com and use SODALOVE for 15% off at checkout. Thanks to the good people at Olipop, and an early thank you for shopping at drinkolipop.com. J-Reels here to spend a brief moment and share a friendly reminder to please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on whichever platform you listen to on the regular, just so we can increase the visibility of the J-Reels podcast to those who aren't familiar with it. Leave plenty of stars, write a favorable review. It will go a long way for the curious listener looking to hop on board to get a dose of entertaining and passionate sports talk. For the visually inclined, please subscribe to my YouTube channel at J-Reels, as I post daily shorts and weekly vlogs, not only delving into the world of sports, but follow me on my journey to take the podcast and channel to new heights, as I provide an in-depth, behind-the-scenes look at what it takes for yours truly to produce content on a day-in, day-out, week-in, week-out basis. It goes without saying how much I truly appreciate all of your support. And without further ado, the J-Reels podcast begins in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's get this sports podcast party started, all right?
The J-Reels Podcast.
Why don't you wait until July 1st to make an announcement? What a disgrace. He can rack up all these numbers in October, November, and December, but what really counts is let me see this in January.
The sports rebel without a pause, delivering fast-paced, jam-packed sports talk like no other.
Listen, I gotta call it as I see it. He is not a good player. I'm sick and tired of having to deal with the disappointment of this franchise. When does it stop? And yes, another winter that I can sleep in peace. Coming correct, directed, in full effect. Let's get it.
This is the J-Reels Podcast. Welcome aboard.
What is happening, my good people? Greetings. How are you? How's it going? How's everybody doing out there? What is the latest and greatest? Hope everybody's doing well, feeling fantastic, in excellent spirits on this Earth Day, as we do our best to be eco-friendly and make our mark for a better planet. I'm also here to produce a better podcast, giving you all of what's going on in sports. Who does it like yours truly, unpacking everything over the course of an hour or so, as this is the J-Reels Podcast with your host, J-Reels. For my first timers, welcome aboard. And for those who have been banging with me going back to the very beginning, somewhere in the middle, or even as early as this past Thursday, I welcome you guys and gals back. And if you're watching on YouTube, I know my hair is a little bit crazy. Thanks for the headphones that are over my dome, that you don't get to see the wild and craziness, at least for me. But shameless plug, if you go to my YouTube channel, please check out a vlog. If you go back even a couple of months, as I've been waiting to hit the 1,000 subscriber mark, I still have a ways to go there, and I said I wasn't going to cut my hair. Well, for those who like the lifestyle vlogs, definitely want to peep that. I posted that yesterday. Thanks to my guy Nike for leaving a couple of comments, and also a big follower of the podcast up in Connecticut. Thank you, my brother, and to your granddaughter as well. So I want to give her a shout out for the generous comment there. And let's get right to it. Sports, playoff time. This is one of the best times of the sport calendar. I can't speak enough of how much I'm giddy, especially after this first weekend where we had 14, count them, 14 playoff games in the NBA and NHL, where you have two more tonight. Dallas and LA, Vegas and Edmonton, which will wrap up game ones for all of both sports, but in particular the NHL, and I'll get to them later on. I want to start us off with the NBA, and one of the themes here to get us going, and this also applies to the NHL, but you didn't get the game one upset from the road team that we were hoping for, because anytime you have a road team win a game, and especially in a game one, because when you have big time underdogs, and we know who they are, we could go through the list of them, and I'm going to go through every series, but anytime you have a team win that odd number game, as I've said over the course of the last couple of podcasts, and hopefully I won't have to hammer that home throughout the course of the next month and a half or so, but for teams that are looking to try to get that edge, to try to get that leg up, and especially if you're a team that pretty much has no shot to win, whether that means you're Philadelphia, not to say they have no shot, but they're going in as considerable underdogs. Same for the Miami Heat. And we could go through the other games and the other teams. But if you don't get that game one, it's going to be an uphill battle to try to get yourself in position to where you could claim an upset in this first round, because those odd number games are important. Yes, you could win a game two, but then now you have to go back to your building, even though with the home court in your advantage. But if you lose one of those two games, then you have to win a game five on the road. And then let's say if you do win a game five, you have a chance to win on your home court in a game six, which in a perfect world, everybody would think that they could win in that sixth game so they don't have to worry about having to get on a plane to play in a game seven. But in all likelihood, if you're playing against a one seed, if you're the eighth seed, or the seventh seed against the two, there is a high possibility that you'd have to play a game seven on the road. Therefore, those odd number games are important to win. And you didn't see that this weekend in the NBA. And you did have some very hotly contested games, whether it was the Knicks there on Saturday with the Sixers. Sixers got off to a 13-point lead in the first half. And Jalen Brunson, who did not shoot well, was, what, 8 for 26 in the game. But when you get a big-time contribution from Josh Hart, who also scored 22, and the Knicks were able to fight off the Sixers there down the stretch and win a game one, which I thought was more important for the Knicks than the Sixers, believe it or not, because Philly has been in the playoffs. We know the Knicks have, going back to last year. I get it. But when you have the reigning MVP on your team, and I understand he may not be 100%, but by far, he is the best player on the court, and he could dominate. And obviously, the Sixers are going to need this game tonight, which will be game two, in order for them to get back to Philly tied at one, and then they're going to have to win a big game three to put some pressure on the Knicks in a game four, hence the odd number games for the underdog. But that was a game that was gutty, gritty, by a Knicks team, as we've seen throughout the course of the year. Not going to be flashy, not going to be sexy. They're pretty much a lunch pail team led by Brunson. We know Julius Randle's not going to come back. And even though OG Anunoby, who provides a lot of that muck, gets in the dirt type of player where you love if you're a New York Knicks fan, where he can't score, but he's going to defend, he's going to get the 50-50 balls. He is a glue type of guy, and that's what you're going to need in order to advance and go as deep as they possibly can, considering they're a two seed and having the home court in the first two rounds. That was a, not say a statement, but that was a great start for a Knicks team to see if they could get a 2-0 series lead, to go back to the city of brotherly love to see if the Sixers could get back in the series. But first things first, they're going to play tonight. 111-104 there on Saturday, which was a big win for the Knicks. And then we'll stick with the East and then go out West. I know yesterday with the Heat winning the game on Friday night against the Bulls, no surprise there. Even though without Jimmy Butler, I thought it was going to be a little bit more of a battle, considering that the Bulls won their first playing game, as we know, against the Atlanta Hawks. And then last year, as I mentioned a million times, another Chicago-Miami winner-take-all to see if they could get into the tournament. And they were no match. Tyler Hero had a big game. I believe he had a triple-double, which led them to Boston there yesterday afternoon. And just like you would expect, 36-hour turnaround, not a lot of rest. I'm sure they were amped up after winning the game on Friday night to go up against their foes in the Eastern Conference for the fourth time in 5 years that they'll battle it out. But this time, it is not in an Eastern Conference final. It is an opening round of the NBA playoffs. And what you saw there yesterday was pretty much the Celtics well-rested, primed and ready to go with a lot of pressure on them. And the Heat, although playing with house money as another 8 seed, just like they did last year, if you recall, in that opening round against Milwaukee. But with the difference with Giannis getting hurt in that first game and not playing up until game 4, Miami was not able to take advantage and win a game 1 as the Celtics pretty much cruised to victory. I understand late in the game you had that incident with Caleb Martin, and where was he yesterday? And I think the Celtics, no Gabe Vincent, no Max Strus. And that's one of the things, the depth of this team, although the Heat are very resourceful. But last year in that Eastern Conference final, you saw a lot of Caleb Martin, who was looking like a Hall of Famer, hitting three, scoring 26 points a game. Gabe Vincent, who got his points as well from behind the three-point stripe. And then Max Strus also made a contribution. Those aforementioned guys, the latter two, will not be there. And Caleb Martin, who was a no-show in the game yesterday until that final minute when Tatum went up for a rebound. And was it egregious? No, but I think there was a little bit of intent there. I'm sure Martin knew out of the corner of his eye that Tatum was there, and he gave him a bump. Tatum goes crashing to the court where he landed on his back and even grazed his head onto the parquet floor. And I understand there was a little bit of a buzz. Jaylen Brown went over in the defense of his teammate. Maybe it's much ado about nothing, but I'm sure the Celtics will keep that in the back of their minds. Not to say there's going to be any retaliation, you wouldn't think, but maybe that was some fuel that they needed. And one thing that I mentioned on my YouTube channel and one of my shorts there Saturday after the Heat beat the Bulls on Friday night, to me, this is a wake-up call. And this, to me, I think was a great test by the basketball gods to send to the Celtics. Instead of bringing the Bulls there where the Celtics could kind of take the pedal off the metal and maybe cruise or even coast or not have that killer instinct, knowing that the Heat, and mind you, they're depleted without their big star, Jimmy Butler. But for the Heat to come in there, and the Celtics know them very well, and we know that they have that street fight mentality, I think this was a good thing for the Celtics to meet the Heat now, because if they do happen to beat the Heat, and I think they should dispose of them in 5 games. If it goes 6, all right, just based on Heat culture, knowing the Celtics, and knowing and figuring out a way to maybe beat them in more than 1 game. But this series should not go any further than 6. I understand that means that it'll have to go back to Miami. But the Celtics are far superior than the Heat. This isn't the same Heat that we saw last year. And granted, now that I say that, watch them go ahead, tie the series, and then take a 2-1 series lead before the Celtics are pretty much in a do-or-die game 4. Which I understand it's a bit of a stretch considering they came back from 0-3 last year. Played a game 7 in their building, and we know what happened there. But I really feel that the Heat is a good thing for the Celtics, and especially toward the end of the game with that Caleb Martin bump Tatum to the floor, where now the antenna, the radar is up big time for this Celtic team, and knowing that they should just take care of them, hopefully in 5 games, but we'll see. So that was the first game there yesterday between the Heat and Celtics. The other two Eastern Conference games, I know Damian Lillard had 35 points in the first half alone and pretty much took care of the Pacers on their home floor, 109-94. No Giannis, as we know. Who knows what the status is for game 2? That we'll have to wait and see. But that is a good start for a Buck team who has a ton of question marks with everything that happened throughout the course of the year. And if you even want to go back to last year with that first round series, I get it, no Giannis for 2.5 games. But considering how their season ended last year, and the firing of Coach Mike Budenholzer going into this year and everything that was pretty much in disarray, to have that kind of victory was good for the Bucks. And if they get Giannis back, whether it is game 2 or at some point in the series, that's going to bode well for them. So that was a shot in the arm there for the Bucks to have a rocking chair type of game. And for Indiana, it's back to the drawing board. You have to wonder what Rick Carlisle, the coach, is going to do to try to get his young studs back in the fray, back in the mix, to see whether or not they could steal a game in Milwaukee to go back home with the series tied at 1. So that we'll pay attention to. And then you had Donovan Mitchell, Orlando, Cleveland. First game of the weekend with 30 points. A little bit tooth and nail, but they were able to prevail. And the Magic, this is their first go around into the postseason with that young squad and that young coach, Jamal Mosley. You would think it's going to be competitive. I could see the Cavs going up to Love, and then who knows what's going to happen when you get back to Orlando, but you would think that Cleveland should take care of business. You would think in six games, but as we all know, anything can happen in this postseason. We could get a seven-game series between the four and five seeds. So that's what you have there in the East. And as far as what's gone on out in the West, New Orleans, who beat Sacramento in the play-in game there on Friday, no Zion Williamson, as we know, and no Zion Williamson there yesterday, to where the Thunder and Pelicans went at it there, down to the wire, where Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, one of the top three candidates for MVP of the league, was able to get a big bucket there with about 30-something seconds to go to put him up 93-90. And then even as they cut the deficit to one point where Chet Holmgren got fouled, missed one of two free throws, and then CJ McCollum had a chance to win or at least tie, and his basket fell short, which would have been interesting because let's say if they would have won the game, put some pressure on a young one seed in the OKC Thunder, but they were able to escape, which was a good thing because we don't know how this Thunder team is going to perform, especially as the top seed out West. And for them to get that win in that shape or form, hopefully for Coach Mark Daigneault, that's going to be a, not going to say a rallying cry, but that is certainly a nice feather in the cap to play a game that was tooth and nail, shows you a little bit of the character and maybe even some toughness of this team. And I understand New Orleans is an eighth seed, but they are a young team. They're on the come up despite the fact that no Zion, but they do have a good young coach themselves with Willie Green, and they have some talent there. Brandon Ingram, obviously CJ McCollum, etc. So who knows how that series is going to play out. If that's going to be an indication of what we saw last night, then chances are we could have a long series there, but OKC certainly is the favorite and maybe in the driver's seat to win that series. And then Saturday night, Lakers and Nuggets. A lot of people thought that maybe this could be some upset potential here. We get it that they met in the conference final last year, but for the Lakers here in an opening round after a few days off, disposing of the Pelicans there earlier in the week, Saturday was mano a mano, back and forth. Good game until the Nuggets were able to prevail from the standpoint of stretching the lead there midway through the fourth quarter, and the Lakers didn't have an answer. And if you're the Lakers, you're hoping that D'Angelo Russell will get on track. We know LeBron and AD, you think, are going to be there as far as players that are going to perform and going to score. I get it. You may get some inconsistency with Anthony Davis, and you definitely can't have that going up against Nikola Jokic. But for the Lakers, they've played close games against the Nuggets, as we've seen over the last couple of years, regular season and playoffs, but they have not been able to get over the hump. They have not been able to get that key basket or key stop to put them in position to win a game or at least to extend leads. And that's the one thing that's fallen short here with the Lakers over the course of the past 2 years, because the Nuggets have had their number. And the Lakers, I believe the game two is tonight. If they are going to be any threat in the series, and even if they do lose and they go back to LA, of course the Lakers having home court, but do you really think that they're going to sweep those two games in Los Angeles to the point where the Nuggets have, I think, won, even dating back to last year, what, 8 or 9 in a row, maybe even 10 in a row, now that I think about it? So to me, this is a must game for the Lakers, although they could even the series, I get that, but you would think overall, with the Nuggets having home court, that they should be able to eke out a series win, even if it were to be chalk for the home teams. But to me, this is a huge game for the Lakers tonight. No ifs, ands, buts, maybes about it, if they want to be of any threat to not only be in the series, but even win the series against the defending champs. Then you had the T-Wolves there on Saturday afternoon. I'm sure that city has been waiting with a buzz all year long, considering that they've been among the top two or three teams in the conference, even as high as number one, as we know. And with them being a three seed, with the Phoenix Suns coming into their arena, and Anthony Edwards putting on a show there, 33 points, blowing out the Suns in a 25-point deficit, 120-95. I don't know if that's more Minnesota, which I think it is, you got to give them credit, or more a situation where the Suns, this is a team that should be better than they are. And we understand that they don't have a lot of depth. When you look at their starting lineup, obviously they could go up against any team when you have KD, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal when he's healthy. But for a Sun team that has a lot of expectations, we know they made it to a final there in 2021. I get it. That was more with Chris Paul and even a guy like DeAndre Ayton, but this is a new squad with a new owner, Matt Ishbia, as we know. But for the Suns, who made that trade for Kevin Durant last year and in the process lost a lot of their depth because of that trade, and it can't be all on KD or even Devin Booker for that matter, but for the Suns, they have to answer back in a big way. Can they go back home down 0-2 and bring the series back to Minnesota even at 2? They could, but Minnesota has been very consistent this year. Maybe they've shown a little bit of growth considering that this is a team that has been young and has been together for some time and led by their dynamic guard, Anthony Edwards. And for a T-Wolf team that is looking to do big things this postseason, and they got off to a resounding start with that win, I could see them going up 2-0. And when you've had a big season the way the T-Wolves had, and knowing that they have Denver and even OKC in front of them, not to say that they're looking down the road, but I'm sure they want to belong. I'm sure they want to make their statement to get to that next round. And although it's very early, it's only one game in, but they've shown, at least for one game, the NBA, their fans, and even the sports fan, that they're meaning business. And they've come to play, and even with KD and D-Book and the likes of the Suns, that they're not looking at them as a veteran team that, we can't match up against the future Hall of Famer and the young guard there in the backcourt in the Valley. So, great start there by the T-Wolves. And then yesterday, no Kawhi, no problem. Now, who knows what's going to happen with Kawhi Leonard? We know he's, just like everybody else, day by day or day to day when it comes to his health. But James Harden, who had 28 in a win yesterday over the Dallas Mavericks, and even Harden came out and said that, yeah, he feels good, and I'm paraphrasing here, that this could be a good run for him, that this could be a scenario where who knows where this team could go. But yes, it's only one game, and I don't want to get on James Harden. To me, he's low-hanging fruit, but it's easy for him to say that now. Let's see in the rigors of a series where you get to, let's say, a game 5 tied at 2, or let's say you're down 3-2 going into a game 6, or even up 3-2. Let's see if Harden is going to deliver at that juncture of a series, and not just in the first round. Let's see more so in a conference final or even NBA final, because everybody knows you can't trust James Harden in a big spot, but now I'm going down that road, so let me retract. Good start for him, good start for the Clippers as they get up to a 1-0 series lead. And that's pretty much what you have. So all the home teams pretty much chalk winning those games. And as we look at the schedule here over the course of the next few days leading up to Thursday's podcast, tonight you do have, as I mentioned earlier, let's see if the Sixers could get the equalizer there at 7:30 TNT. To kick us off, you have Orlando at Cleveland. That's going to be on NBA TV starting at 7 o'clock. So for the dyed-in-the-wool NBA fan, I'm sure you're going to start there, but you're probably going to pivot to Sixers-Knicks there at 7:30, followed by Lakers and Denver. Two big games by those two teams, the reigning MVP in Philly, and then obviously LeBron, AD, and company out in Denver. Tomorrow night, Phoenix and Minnesota will start you off at 7:30 TNT, followed by Indiana-Milwaukee at 8:30, that on NBA TV. And then Dallas at the Clippers, 10 p.m. on TNT, followed by Miami and Boston Wednesday TNT, as they have the whole slate here throughout the week. I guess ESPN, all right, you'll see ESPN on Friday. But a lot of games here on TNT in the early part toward the middle of the week. Miami-Boston at 7, followed by New Orleans and the OKC Thunder at 9:30. And that's pretty much your NBA. Nothing more else to add. We've talked about the scenarios regarding the underdogs, so we'll have to wait and see how that's going to all unfold. And as far as your MVP, I'm not going to go through all the awards, but I know for the MVP in particular, you have the final three are Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jokic, and Luka Doncic. So those are the guys that are going to be your finalists for the MVP. And I'm not going to get into a debate on who deserves it or who should get it. The MVP usually is announced by the second round of the postseason, but you would think that the favorite here, although you could argue whether or not Doncic could be the MVP as well as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I think it's between Alexander and Jokic. Will they give it to Jokic for the third time in 4 years? Quite possible, because without Jokic, are the Nuggets even a playoff team? And you could even say the same for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as well as Luka, but you could split hairs and argue who is going to get it. Maybe Jokic will get a third and fourth year, which will be just astounding when you think about it. But that's for down the road. Let's move on here as we get to the NHL. And I'll talk about the two West games later on to kind of give you a little bit of a preview there. As I mentioned, you still have two more game ones that have to be played in the NHL. But similar to the NBA, game ones go to the home team. And it started us off on Saturday where the Islanders, as I lace up my skates here, pivoting from the hardwood to the ice, taking off those high tops, just chucking them aside. So for the Islanders, Saturday, going to the third period, 1-1. And I thought to myself that the only way they're going to win this game is they had to get the go-ahead goal. And that's not to say that would have guaranteed them victory, as we know. But road team, and you knew they probably would have sat on that lead if they would have scored the eventual go-ahead goal. And that did not happen. That went to the Carolina Hurricanes. And the Hurricanes, as I talked about on Thursday, they are a steady, maybe not spectacular, because they don't have the bona fide superstar or the guy that you could really have to hone in on to try to slow down or stop Carolina. They're going to come at you in waves. They have four solid lines. They don't have a ton of scoring. They don't have a ton of household names when it comes to, and listen, I'm not going to go along the likes of Connor McDavid or Nathan MacKinnon or Nikita Kucherov. They certainly don't have a player like that. They don't even have a second tier player, but they do have a lot of just gutty, gritty, knows what it takes to win. They don't have that dominant goal scorer. And what you saw there on Saturday afternoon into the evening was pretty much just that. When you have a guy like Stefan Norsen breaking the tie there early in the third period to make it 2-1. And then, of course, they tack on another goal late to wrap up the game. And the Islanders had their chances. They certainly did. Give credit to Frederik Andersen, the goalie, who made big stops there, whether it was early in the third or even as the period progressed. And the Islanders can't hang their heads. They got to go back out there tonight to see if they could get the equalizer again. That scenario with the big-time team that's the underdog going into the series and not getting that Game 1 win, and even if they do win Game 2, coming back to the UBS Arena later on in the week, they're going to have to win those odd number games. I can't stress that and emphasize that enough. And I'm actually surprised that a lot of other people, when on TV, radio, podcasts, etc., they don't emphasize or even highlight that if you're a team that needs to keep yourself in a series and no, not be down 0-1 or down 2-1 or 3-2 for that matter, you got to win that odd number game. And hopefully I won't have to hammer that home anymore after today. Although you know it's going to happen, because once you get to the next round and beyond, there's going to be maybe one team that escapes as an underdog, and then we'll have to revisit that if it does come to pass. But for the Islanders, let's see if they can bounce back. They had Semyon Varlamov, who had a good game for him. And we understand that that's going to be a juggling act between he and Ilya Sorokin. But the Islanders are going to need the game tonight, even if they go back to the island down 0-2 with the home ice in their advantage. Remember, they were down 0-2 to the Hurricanes last year in the same spot. So they can ill afford to do that, because chances are they're not going to come out of the series alive. And the same can be said for the Capitals. Rangers, business as usual for the Blue Shirts. They will probably just steamroll the Capitals and put them out of their misery much sooner than later, you would think. I would think this is probably going to be maybe even a sweep. Probably one game you give to the Capitals that they'll win on home ice. But the Rangers, who had a big regular season, as we know, they went 4-1 there yesterday. And to me, the Caps are not going to be long for this postseason. Sadly, similar to the Islanders, as we know. Then Saturday night, let me take it back there. After the Islander game, you had Toronto and Boston. The Bruins trying to erase what happened in the opening round last year, as we all know, against the Florida Panthers. But they had a big second period. They scored three goals, cruised to a 5-1 win. Jake DeBrusque with two power play goals. Toronto has to go back to the drawing board themselves. As we know, they have a lot of demons to shake off, not necessarily winning an opening round as they did last year, but to try to have a good postseason run to get to a conference final, which they haven't done in forever, and dare I even say a Stanley Cup final, which they haven't won in 57 years. So let's see if they can regroup and try to get it their series even to go back to Toronto there for Game 3. And then you had Tampa and Florida. These are two teams that have battled it out in the playoffs over the years, but Florida gets to win game one, which they haven't been able to win a lot of games in the postseason against their in-state rival, the Lightning. But Carter Verghese, who knows a thing or two about big-time playoff goals, got the tiebreaker there in the third period with a power play goal in the opening minute, I might add, to break the 1-1 tie to make it 3-1. Then Matt Tkachuk added an empty netter before the Lightning added a goal with 10 seconds to go, but it was too little too late as the Panthers, looking to try to get back to a Stanley Cup final, win 3-2. And that was a big win for them, because if the Lightning somehow, some way would have won that game, I'm sure there would have been some doubt. Maybe not with the Matthew Tkachuk-led team, because Tampa and Florida didn't face off against one another last year, but they did play against each other in the previous two Stanley Cup playoffs. And for them to not get that win, Tampa that is, it certainly didn't have any doubt creep into the Panthers' heads. You don't have to worry about that. It's moot. But let's see if Tampa could get themselves back to the panhandle, tied at one, as I believe they'll play a game number two tomorrow night, but we'll check the schedule there in a moment. And then out west, wild game in Winnipeg last night, where Colorado and Winnipeg, both teams scored 6 goals in the first and third periods. That's right. You had a barn burner there up in Manitoba, to where the Jets were the only team to score in the second period, which happened to be the goal that was the deciding one, although that wasn't the case, because when you got into the third period, the Jets had a 4-3 lead. They actually extended it to 6-3 and 7-4 before they hung on the win 7-6. And for the Jets, who played very well down the stretch, had a big winning streak. I believe they won 7 in a row heading into the postseason. They may have lost that last game, but nevertheless, they get game one under their belts, and that was a big win for them, because Winnipeg, although they have the home ice, but Colorado, we know this team around these parts, winning a Stanley Cup 2 years ago, and they're trying to erase a bad opening round last year against the Seattle Kraken. So for them to stave off the furious comeback by the Avalanche and to hold them off, good sign for them. Let's see if they can continue to play well and see if they could be a dark horse, even though a lot of people think that the Jets, as formidable and as good as they've been throughout the course of the regular season, neck and neck with Dallas and Colorado just in their division, and of course getting home ice in this opening round, maybe they could be a team that can make some hay and has a deep postseason run, where Colorado, I know they probably are wondering, all right, we gave it our all, high scoring game, we got to Connor Hellebuck, the longtime Winnipeg Jet goalie, so we'll have to wait and see how game two will play out, but I'm sure Colorado will answer back and see if they could get the equalizer going back to the Rocky Mountains. And then you had Nashville, who looked like they had Vancouver on the ropes. They had a 2-1 lead going into the third period, and just about at the halfway point, the Canucks, who had a big regular season, as we know, although they didn't get the one seed in the conference, that goes to the Dallas Stars. But for Pius Suter to get a goal there just about at the 9-minute mark into the third period, and then just 11 seconds later, Dakota Joshua extends, or I should say, then breaks the tie at 2-2 to make it 3-2. He adds an empty netter later in the period to win 4-2. And Nashville, again, that underdog, I'll just leave it at that, had a good opportunity. Granted that there was still more than half a period to go. But for Vancouver, who I'm sure has some big-time expectations considering what they did in the regular season, and for them to get that win, which I'm sure was huge, down 2-1, and they got those two goals there in a span of 11 seconds, which pretty much propelled them to a Game 1 win. And let's see if Nashville could get off the mat there in a Game 2. Now, as far as the two other series at play here, Dallas, L.A., Dallas the 1 seed, L.A. as the 8, the second wildcard team in the West. Does L.A. have a shot to maybe at least win one game? I guess I'll give them that when they get the series back to L.A. But for Dallas, big-time regular season. And again, that's a team that also, they do have their stars, the Jamie Benn, the Jason Robertsons of the world, guys who have performed and have gone on deep runs in the postseason. Last year, they went to a conference final against the Vegas Golden Knights, and even though they were down 3-0, but they were able to push it to a 6th game in their building before losing. There's a team that, with Jake Oettinger, the goaltender, who had a cup run of his own in the pandemic year, but the Stars did go to a cup against Tampa, So this team does know their way around winning, and especially winning in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Have they won the whole enchilada, the Stanley Cup? No, but this is a team that I'm sure a lot of people are banking on to get out of the West to be a representative in the Stanley Cup final, and I think they're going to win this series quite easy. I'll say Stars in five, because just to give some dap to the Kings. And as far as Vegas and Edmonton, this should be a high-flying series. I know that Vegas is rumbled, bumbled, and stumbled a little bit on the second half of the year, but they did make it in as a, not as a wild card, but as a three seed. And for them to have to go on the road, and this is a series that we saw last year in the second round to where Vegas beat Edmonton. So I'm sure there's going to be a little revenge factor there to see whether or not the high-flying Oilers, who had a very good final two-thirds of the season. I talked about it constantly throughout the course of the year about their slow start and then had those two big, long winning streaks. And then fighting for the division up until around the last week, even though Vancouver certainly had a division on lock. It certainly was a comfortable stretch for them, knowing that the Oilers were a threat, but they didn't really come close to overtaking them in the division. But for Edmonton, we know about their offense. We know that they could score with the best of them, but their defense and their goalie, Stuart Skinner, who we do like, or I should say I like, because not as if I have somebody else here with me. But with that being said, Vegas, they do have that DNA. They do have the hardware. Is it going to be enough for them to beat Edmonton? I think they can beat them, because Edmonton, they can have these lapses. They're not going to outscore everybody, similar to what you saw with Colorado Winnipeg. It's not going to be 6-5, 7-6 every game. I'm going to say the Oilers win in 7. To me, the Oilers, they need to have a very good postseason. And considering the way they played throughout the last two-thirds of the year, they should be able to at least get to, should I even say a conference final? They should at least get to the next round, even if it is against the defending Stanley Cup champs. So I'll just leave it at that. I'm going to say Oilers in 7. I think they can win in 6. Could Vegas win in 6 or 7? Absolutely. There's no way that I could look at this Vegas Golden Knight team and just think that, oh, well, they've had a good year, not a great year, didn't have a good second half, was a little bit uneven. Yes, they were hanging around there to with the Kings for that third seed in the Pacific Division, but making it to the postseason is a moral victory for them. They're not looking at it that way. It's a new season. Starts tonight, and we'll see whether or not Vegas could get themselves in a 1-0 cushion to start off their series. But I'm rooting for Edmonton. I think that they're going to win in 7, but again, with the Cup champs, anything could happen. And that's what you have with your NHL. So both fall and winter sports off to good starts, and you know we'll monitor it as we go. In fact, let's check out the schedule here for tonight and up until Thursday night. Again, you do have the West that will drop the puck tonight, but you also have the Islanders playing the Hurricanes. So let's see if the Islanders, as I mentioned before, if they could get their series even. You're going to have the first game, Toronto at Boston, where ESPN, and this is where you see all the games on TNT, because of course the NHL does have ESPN and TNT. So with ESPN having a bunch of the games here, start of the week to the middle of the week, that explains for TNT, and I should have known that at the time when I was going through the NBA schedule. But Toronto at Boston tonight at 7, followed by New York, Carolina at 7:30, 9:30, Vegas at Dallas. Wait, did I have this right here? Yeah, Vegas at Dallas. Did I say Vegas at Edmonton? I had this all mixed up. So that is my apologies, people. So I got to go back to the drawing board there, because for whatever the reason why I was thinking Vegas and Edmonton, this goes back to the other day, because when the regular season ended, and that is a big, giant faux pas by me. I'm not going to edit that out. I'm not going to try to make this all cute and whatever. That is hand raised high, if you're watching on YouTube, my super enormous, mega, ultra bad. This is what happens when you have an uneven schedule, and I still take full accountability, because remember, the NHL season ended on a Thursday where we had all those West teams, and of course, not going back to do my homework as I look through the matchups here, I was thinking it was Vegas, Edmonton, and LA and Dallas. Well, that certainly, let me see if I could switch this up a little bit and kind of switch this puzzle around. Vegas-Dallas, I think this could be a very compelling series. Again, this is a rematch of the conference final last year. But Dallas, with everything that I've talked about, their regular season and their little bit of a pedigree, although Vegas has the hardware. But I can see this being a six-game series. I can see Vegas going to be a tough out. I'm going to say the Stars win in six. And then as far as LA and Edmonton, this is a rematch of the first round last year, where that went six games. And I think that's going to go six games as well. So I think Edmonton will end up winning that series. They do have the home ice. And I could see that being tooth and nail. In fact, I recall off the top of my head, LA had a 2-1 series lead going into game four. And I believe Evander Kane had a hat trick in game four, which set the Oilers onto the series victory. So again, my bad people getting that matchup or those two matchups just mixed up there. So Vegas-Dallas, I think that's actually a better series than Vegas and Edmonton, if you ask me, because of the rematch factor. And even LA-Edmonton, we saw that again last year in the first round. So that is a rematch there. But for those two series, again, my apologies there. But I think Vegas-Dallas is going to be a lot more better than Dallas and LA than Vegas and Edmonton. So that's what we have there for tonight. Then tomorrow, Capitals Rangers at 7, Tampa Florida 7:30, Colorado at Winnipeg at 9:30, and then Nashville at Vancouver at 10. And then you have Boston at Toronto 7 o'clock on Wednesday, Vegas at Dallas 9:30, and then LA Edmonton at 10. And that game's on TBS. So that you'll have to watch on a different network, where all the other games are ESPN and ESPN2 for tonight and tomorrow if you're going to watch the hockey. And that's what we have there with the NHL. Now let me pivot as I get into the batter's box and see what we have at Major League Baseball, as we're just about a month in. This Thursday will be a month into the baseball season. And all I have to say is this. There is a huge disparity in baseball, which does not bode well for a lot of these teams, which I'll mention in a minute. You could actually say that teams who are out of the running for, let's say, even a wild card or maybe even to be discussed for the postseason, usually you get to Memorial Day to get a good barometer as you're a little bit more than a quarter into the season as to what teams are going to be either hanging around as pretenders or teams that you know are going to contend, or the teams that are really going to be out of it by the final Monday, or I should say the Memorial Day Monday heading into the summer. But right now, baseball, it is looking bleak in these cities. The south side of Chicago, Colorado, I know, dare I even say St. Louis? I mean, think about that. St. Louis? Maybe not, but still, got to keep that in mind. Oakland, as we know, and they play the Yankees for four games, and the Yankees, who bounce back, winning 2 out of 3, although I'll get to them in a minute. But Oakland's coming to town for four games against the Yankees, so if they win one game, that'll be a shock. But we think Oakland is going to be a team with their record now, 8-14. No way near they're going to be in the American League playoff picture. But I even have to say, below them are the Houston Astros. So are the Astros going to be out to sea? Maybe premature to say that here on April the 22nd, but if I got to throw Oakland, who's one game or a game and a half ahead of them in the standings, is Houston a team that is also could be a part of this mix? Maybe even the Twins, 7-13. You have a lot of these teams. The Marlins, as we all know, you have a lot of bad teams. And granted, we knew that the Marlins, even making it to the playoffs last year, chances are they weren't going to repeat that or even come close to that. But you could pretty much kiss them goodbye. The White Sox could be the worst team in baseball. I mean, their record indicates that. They are 3-18. That is Oakland A's-esque. I hate to say it to the fans in the Bay Area, but the way the A's started last year and all the talk was, could they even match the 62 Mets at 40-120? Well, now you have a scenario where it could be the Chicago White Sox turn up to the plate to say, hey, Oakland A's of 2023, hold my beer. This is a thing where now, yeah, 3-18. For a minute, I thought it was 3-16. And they just came off of a sweep at the hands of the Phillies in Philadelphia. But for a lot of these teams, and you got a lot of bad ones, and that's not even including the Angels, who now Anthony Rendon is on the aisle again, shocker, as he pulled a hammy trying to beat out a single there Saturday night against the Reds. So you're going to take his bat out of the lineup, although he started off slow, but he batted, I think, 357 in his last X amount of games. But here are the teams that you have going down the list. Now, AL East, formidable. So I'll put them aside. Tigers 12-10, you feel that they're probably going to fall off at some point. Guardians are making me look bad. I picked them as an under, and they're 16-6. And that's no Shane Bieber either. Think about that. But Twins, 7-13. White Sox, 3-18. Angels, come on, they've been awful over throughout the last dozen years, even with Mike Trout and when they had Shohei Ohtani. 9-13, and now no Rendon. Athletics, 8-14. Astros, 7-16. Marlins, 6-17. I threw in the Cardinals there, 9-13. And granted that the AL Central isn't dominant with a ton of teams, because the teams ahead of them, they're separated by just a handful of games, led by the Milwaukee Brewers at 14-6. And then Colorado. You want to even throw in the Giants? San Francisco, 10-13. Maybe a little bit too soon to say. But you already have seven teams that are awful in the sport. And by the time you get to Memorial Day, that may even double. So baseball, I get it. Atlanta, New York with the Mets and Yankees, Philadelphia, Texas with the Rangers, Baltimore. All right, you want to say Boston, Toronto, Tampa for right now, Cleveland for right now, KC. All right, those teams may be in the mix. All right, you want to say Seattle because they're 500. Other than that, that's what you have. That's going to be your baseball season, and that is just a terrible optic. That's not to say everybody has to be good. That's not to say everybody has to have that parity that you see in the NBA or NHL or even the NFL, dare I say. But you may have, by Memorial Day, and this is why I bring this up today, keep this receipt. We're going to get to see a month from now, 5 weeks from today, that's when I believe Memorial Day is, whether or not seven teams will expand to 12 or 14. And when you think about it, how many teams make it to the postseason? 12. So if you already take out 14 teams out of the mix, or let's say, to be fair, let's say 12 teams. You take those 12 teams out that are bad, that are not even going to sniff a pennant race, and then the 12 teams that we think are going to be there at the end, 12 and 12 is 24, that leaves you with eight more teams. And you know half of those teams are going to be out when it's all said and done. So what kind of drama, what kind of intrigue, what kind of suspense are you going to have when you get to the official start of summer, into the 4th of July, the All-Star break, the trade deadline, and beyond? You're going to have nothing. And you pretty much saw that last year. And granted, you saw some pennant races there where the Marlins, a lot of those lesser teams. Because remember, last year, you had no Mets, Yankees, Red Sox, Cardinals, Cubs. You didn't have the marquee teams in the sport. You had a lot of the other teams that made it through the back door, whether it was the Marlins, for instance, some of the other teams that made it as playoff teams that were surprises when it was all said and done. The Diamondbacks, who went on a World Series run, as we know. You had a lot of those teams. But for baseball right now, and yes, I get it that it's not maybe on a lot of people's radar, unless it's yours truly or the Dynamo baseball fan. But boy, right now, with all those bad teams that have gone out of the gate and you're not even a full month into the season, that doesn't bode well. And part of that problem, as we've discussed time after time after time, is the imbalance of the sport where the Dodgers, the Yankees, the teams that are the big markets with the big payrolls. And yes, we can talk about Arizona making it to a World Series in a mid-major market with 84 wins. And even though they made some offseason moves to solidify their team, okay, fine, I get that. And even Tampa, for that matter, and what they've done over the course of the last half a decade, making it to the postseason perennially, winning divisions, also getting into the playoffs. But other than 2020, making it to the World Series in a pandemic year, they're pretty much a one-and-done team, as we've seen. They're not part of the big boys in a league championship series or even in a World Series, for that matter. We all know it's going to come down to the top teams in the sport. I understand maybe last year notwithstanding, but baseball is going to be in for a long year. And granted that you're going to have some drama and intrigue in certain cities, and maybe not if the Dodgers get themselves on track after losing 2-3 to the Mets, and granted that they didn't embarrass themselves and get swept by the Mets. Instead, that they put an exclamation point on the Mets yesterday. And granted, you got to look at these series on a whole, that the Mets won 2 out of 3 and you're going to take it. But when you get shut out and lose 10-0, and I know Shohei Ohtani now is the most home runs by a Japanese player in Major League Baseball history. Woohoo to that. But the Dodgers haven't gotten off to a good start here, as their record indicates at, what is it, 13-11. And their payroll is $1 zillion. So we're going to monitor this as we go along. But boy, just a lot of bad teams in the sport. And granted that not every team is going to be in contention or what have you. But when you see these records the way they are, it's just an eyesore. 3-18, 6-17, 7-16. 7-16, the Astros. I mean, come on. 9-13, the Cardinals. And granted, they don't play in a very competitive division. Now, it's competitive because a lot of those teams are hanging around. We get it, but still. So that's what I have there with the baseball. As far as the weekend goes, I know Aaron Judge got booed. And even though he's a stand-up guy, so he's like, yeah, I would boo me too. Again, paraphrasing there. But he's gotten off to a terrible start. He's batting 183. Golden Sombrero there on Saturday. Struck out in the ninth inning where the Yankees got shut out by the Rays. But they bounced back there nicely with a win. And as I mentioned, the A's come to town. So you would think that they're going to have at least 3 wins in their back pocket before going on the road. And I believe they play the Rays in Tampa next weekend. Or I should say this coming weekend. But the Orioles have played well. They are now just a half game behind the Yankees in the division. I know the Red Sox sweep over the weekend, which is a good thing for them. Because the Red Sox, after that great start on the road, 7-3, they came home and trying to find their footing, which did not play well, but they swept the Pirates over the weekend. And the Pirates have come back crashing to earth, and that was in Pittsburgh, I might add. So the Pirates, who also got off to that great start, floundering there a little bit as they're at 500. And at one point, I believe they were 9-2, so just keep that in mind. But for other news in baseball, I know the Phillies have played well. Now, mind you, they beat up on the Rockies and the White Sox, those aforementioned teams who have been awful. So you may take that with a grain of salt, but they are just a game back, 2-1 behind the Braves in this early part of the season. As I mentioned, they've won 6 in a row. And for anything else that's happening in the sport, that's what you have there. Nothing much to really get into. The Guardians have played well, and they've been a surprise. 16-6. They've also had put up a winning streak here, 4 in a row. Now, they beat the A's in the process. So, sweeping the A's, and now they come to New York. So, you know what that's going to be. Maybe the A's are due to win a game or two. So, who knows? That'd be great for yours truly, the Yankee hater that I am. Sorry to my guys out there, Rob Rosato, John Irving, going down the list, all the Yankee fans in my life. My father-in-law, how can I forget him? Carlos, my guy. So, for baseball, that's what you have there in this early going. Let's see what we have. Any interesting series to see what we could chew on here. I know the Mets are in San Francisco. So you look at that. You have the Bay Area teams play the New York teams here in the early part of the week. Yankees are playing a 1 o'clock game today. I don't understand why. Who knows? Maybe there's something going on here that I don't know. Oh, maybe because of the Knicks game tonight? I mean, really? I don't know. Knicks are playing tonight 7:30, but maybe they don't want to have the Yankees. I'm sure if that's the case, you're going to see a lot of Yankees at the Knick game there on Celebrity Row, so just keep that in mind. But you have, let's see, Milwaukee at Pittsburgh. See if the Pirates could get back on track. Phillies in Cincinnati. Detroit at Tampa. All right. Chicago at Minnesota, which would have been good maybe a few years ago, but Toronto at Kansas City, not bad. Arizona, St. Louis, Baltimore at the Angels, okay. Now, that's tonight, but the full slate of games will take place tomorrow. Let's see what we got here. Seattle at Texas. All right, that's something we could keep in mind. Nothing else to really... Dodgers at Nationals. So the Dodgers are on the East Coast. Let's see who they play over the weekend. Did they come to Philadelphia? I'll worry about that on Thursday's podcast. But that's what you have there with baseball. You know we're going to keep an eye on that and monitor as we go. And speaking of monitoring, I know this is going to be the hurricane that is the Shield, the NFL, as the draft, I believe it's in Detroit. Not that I care, as they bounce around from city to city over the years. But the NFL will be front and center come Thursday, and the draft will take place 3 days, as we know. First round on Thursday, second and third on Friday, and then 4 through 7 there on Saturday. And we all know the big talk is the quarterbacks. We know number one's going to be Caleb Williams going to Chicago. After that, you could say it's a coin flip. Will the Commanders take Jaden Daniels or will they take Drake May? If you ask me, I would go with Jaden Daniels, although he's not a sure thing as we know, but Drake May, the North Carolina quarterback, they already been there, done that with Sam Howell, and I'm sure they don't want to go there. No offense to the quarterbacks coming out of North Carolina, but we saw that with Mitchell Trubisky. We saw how he has not panned out as a number two overall. And actually, think about that. The Bears drafted him over Patrick Mahomes in that draft. So that's all you need to know about that. And then with Drake May coming out with flying colors, a lot of people think that he could be the guy that could squash the ineptitude of the Tar Heel quarterbacks over the last dozen years, or I should say last decade or so. But for Washington, they got to get this pick right with the new regime, etc., new ownership, and with the new coach in tow, Daniel Quinn. Then you have the third pick going to New England. Who knows if they're going to trade out of that pick. That's going to be fascinating to see. Will they go ahead and pick Drake May and have their sights set on them with the new coach in tow, Jared Mayo? And who knows if New England's going to go there. Maybe they trade back. They're going to be a little Belichickian to see who's going to move up to number three to maybe take the quarterback. And maybe they fall back a few spots to get more picks. That would certainly be Patriot-like, but we'll have to stay tuned for that. Then you have just these top few picks. Arizona, you think, is going to pick a wide receiver to go along with Kyler Murray, but they could shock people and pick a quarterback, as some draft boards maybe have a quarterback going there at number four. But you would think maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. will be a guy that the Cardinals will select. Then at five, you would automatically think that the Chargers are going to pick a wide receiver. Will they go Roma Dunze? Or if Harrison's there, I'm sure they're going to pick Harrison. Maybe they'll flip-flop the 4 and 5 pick because maybe they like Harrison better and have him higher on their boards over a Dunze. So that we'll have to see. And then the Giants have the 6th pick. Well, who knows what the Giants could do? Are they sold on Daniel Jones moving forward? Remember, they gave him big-time money last year, so they're going to have a lot of dead cap money. That's not to say if they do draft a quarterback that he's going to supplant Daniel Jones as the starter, but that's also something to discuss. Now, a lot of this could be saved for Thursday's podcast, but I figured I'd give you just a little teaser there just from the top 6 picks. I'm not going to go through the whole first round, and I certainly don't have a mock draft because, for me, mock drafts, you might as well just throw them in the garbage. We could speculate all we want. I've never been a draft geek, although I do watch the draft and I follow it and I do like it, but I've never been one that, oh, I got to put up a mock draft. Who's going to go here? Who's going to go where? Who may flip-flop and trade? And I know a lot of the rumors was maybe J.J. McCarthy as Jim Harbaugh, now the coach in L.A., to maybe even draft J.J. McCarthy. Why would you do that? I understand went to Michigan, the ties there, etc., but they have a guy in Justin Herbert who they just paid $250 million or whatever it was. What was it, last offseason? Why would he even go there to bring in J.J. McCarthy? To me, that makes no sense. They need a wide receiver in the worst way. Remember, they either let go of their wide receivers, Mike Williams now with the Jets, or Mike Evans now in Chicago, Mike Evans is in Tampa. Okay, let's start over. Keenan Allen, who was formerly the Chargers, again, my faux pas, people, you know me, accountability and taking ownership. Keenan Allen went to Chicago, so they don't have any wideouts and pretty much don't have an offense because Austin Eckler's also gone. I believe he's in Washington. So for them, they need to draft a wide receiver with their first pick. So you would think that Harbaugh and company, they're going to have to go that route to have a target for their quarterback, Justin Herbert. But I'll get into more of a little bit of the draft there on Thursday. Maybe I'll have a trade or two between now and then. I'm sure you're going to have a bunch of trades there leading into the draft, probably that afternoon after I record this, as we get that much closer and see where these quarterbacks are going to go and where they're rumored to go, so on and so forth. So for the NFL fan and for the league itself, I'm sure their rating is probably going to top even some of these playoff games for both the NBA and NHL, which is an embarrassment to say the least, because the NBA, it is playoffs. You would think that they would generate some good ratings, maybe not amongst the Orlando Clevelands and series like that, but whomever plays there Thursday night, you would think that they would actually be better. And you know that the draft is going to be on ESPN. So to think, no NBA games. I'm sure you're going to see them on TNT and then on TBS or maybe ESPN2. I'm sure the draft will even be on ESPN2 for that matter. So that's what you have there with the NFL as we take a look as to what else is happening there. I don't think anything has come up here before I sign off. as we just have about another podcast in the books. Yeah, some sad news. I know you had not only Roman Gabriel, the former Ram quarterback who won an MVP, died at the age of 83. And Roman Gabriel, he goes way back to the Rams. If you're familiar with him, going back to the 60s into the early 70s, he was drafted, I believe, in 62. Number two draft pick. I don't think that's overall. Maybe it was. But Roman Gabriel, thoughts, prayers, condolences go out to his family, the Rams, the NFL, etc. But then you also had another passing where former Bear and Colt GM Bill Tobin died, also at the age of 83. Longtime executive, been around the NFL for a long time, so thoughts, prayers, and condolences go out to his family. But nothing else as far as trades or even off-the-field news when it comes to teams that or players that have been, whether it's car accidents, as we saw there with Rashee Rice there in Dallas, or players trying to run away from the law a la Cam Sutton. So that you don't have to worry about here. This go around. Now I'm looking at it from a health standpoint where Tyrese Maxey is questionable for game two tonight due to an illness. Let me take a quick look at that. That's some big news there. Yes, did not attend the morning shoot around. Maxey, who obviously is a key player to a Sixer team that obviously does have Joel Embiid, but you do need to have that second guy on your team, and who knows? Questionable, and that will be a big loss, and that's going to be a huge boon for the Knicks if you're not going to see Tyrese Maxey out on the floor, so obviously we'll keep an eye on that. Other than that, people, that's what I have. Another episode just about in the books. Thank you so much for stopping by. Thank you so much for carving out precious moments out of your day to listen to what it is they have to say about what goes on in the world of sports. Tell your family, friends, foes, people. Full-time content creator, this is it. This is my job. So I'm trying to generate as much as I can. That's why I mentioned the vlog at the very start for those who want a little bit of a different side of yours truly. If you could see, I know I have the headphones on. My hair is a mess for me. But I did post a vlog there yesterday, and I got a lot more content to come. Also, I'm planning a live stream, so keep that in mind, people. And this will be everything, mostly sports, but who knows, whatever's on your mind, you want to jump on board. Live stream, I'm thinking sometime next week. All right, so come Thursday, I'll confirm that. Sometime next week, I'm thinking midweek. Haven't picked a day or time as of yet, but I'm going to start live streaming. And it's going to be on Instagram. Eventually, I want to pivot to YouTube. I'm not there yet when it comes to subscribers and building my following there, but Instagram is what it's going to be until I get to that point. So stay tuned for that. Live stream, first time ever for yours truly. Again, just trying to get the name out there, get yours truly, the podcast, my channel, anything and everything. With your help, I certainly need for you to get the word out there, share it with your frenemies, family, the sports fan in your life, or someone that's just into content overall, vlogging, following, lifestyle, advice, things of that nature. Hey, not that I'm an expert, but you know, being here 55 years, obviously I have seen some stuff and done some things, so Lord knows maybe I could pass that on to you guys and gals to try to not fall into those traps. A little motivation, some inspiration, I got you covered. So, at J Reels on YouTube, you want to hit me up with a question, comment, suggestion, you can do so at the following on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, the J Reels Podcast, Twitter, X, J Reels 1, just a number, or the old-fashioned way, the J Reels Podcast at gmail.com via email. I'll be sure and be more than happy to follow up with you guys and gals, because whether you do or do not know, this is what I love to do, people. This is why I quit my job. This is why I'm doing this full-time. This is why I'm pushing all my chips to the middle of the table. That's right. Because this is what I've been set out to do and even born to do. Talking sports since birth. It's in the blood, it's in the DNA, and even sharing my experience, whether it's behind this microphone or in front of this camera, with nothing but passion, fire, energy, fury, with my thoughts, opinions, critiques, praise, analysis, feelings on anything and everything that happens on the world of the diamond, ice, gridiron, hardwood, golf course, racetrack, tennis court, boxing ring, octagon, you name it. From my lips to your ears, from my heart to your soul, from where I am to wherever you are, the J Reels Podcast always comes correct, direct, and in full effect. From the South Bronx, the Southeast, the South Central, the South Pacific, and all points beyond, peace, love, and God bless everybody. And until next time on the J Reels Podcast, on the flip, baby.